What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action, depaving your neighborhood. Walk around your neighborhood and you'll likely notice flashes of neglect. Spaces, mostly on the smaller side, that could use a little love. This could be an abandoned parking lot, schoolyard, or even some busted up concrete at the cross street. Neighbors could see these spaces as a blemish in the neighborhood. Others, however, could see it as an opportunity to, as you'll learn in this episode, depave and replace the space with a more productive use, such as a parklet, flower bed, or a planter for local food. To help us unpack this action, we have Alex Taylor on the podcast, Manager of Water Programs at Green Communities Canada, to discuss its program Depave Paradise, an organization that helps communities across Canada depave neglected concrete and restore the space with a more productive use. In this episode, you'll learn why you should depave all the neglected concrete in your own neighborhoods and how it benefits both the environment and the economy, including how to get your neighbors involved in the process, how to pitch the idea to city leaders, and how to find the best sites in your neighborhood for depaving. Enjoy. Hey there, Alex. How are you today?
Hi, good, thanks.
Very good. How's life in Peterborough, Canada?
Well, today it's finally sunny after a few weeks of just rain, so we're pretty happy.
Good. Yeah. I am happy to hear it. Yeah. Well, Alex, so happy to have you on the podcast today. We have a great action to cover together, and that is depaving your neighborhood. And listeners, we should make very clear from the start, whenever we talk about depaving your neighborhood, we're not talking about folk going out and ripping up any infrastructure they're not pleased with. Alex, I kid you not, I read an article a couple weeks ago about a man in North Carolina who had paid a contractor to tear out a median that he was displeased with outside of his house. Oh. And of course, that's not what we're talking about. That is not okay. That does not create a more productive place, which we're going to talk about today. The type of depaving we're talking about is much more small-scale, thoughtful projects where we focus on neglected areas and tear up the asphalt to create more productive use, whether that's a beautification project, whether that's improving water flow, which we're going to talk about today, all sorts of great benefits that we're going to dig into. And Alex, I know this is the kind of work that you guys are doing at Green Communities Canada through your Depave Paradise program. To get us started, I'd love to learn, what were y'all noticing in cities across the country that inspired y'all to start Depave Paradise?
Well, there was two things. And the first one was environmental issues in our urban areas. So we have a lot of things that we hear about regularly now about heat sinks. So our cities are getting warm and because there isn't a lot of green space to absorb that heat. We have some lack of air quality, lack of green spaces for wildlife and birds and pollinators. And specifically right now, which is a big issue with all the rain that's happening this spring, we have urban flooding and declining water quality as well. Mm. Now, what we were finding too was that there was a lack of public knowledge about the water issues that our cities are causing. So there's issues around stormwater pollution, non-point source pollution, as well as we have a lot of flooding in our communities. So how do we deal with that? How do we get our cities motivated to change how we're building these building our cities? And so we thought, how can we do that? And so I must say we were inspired by depave.org in Portland that was doing so many amazing things there and doing the same thing that we do.
Awesome.
And so we found that we thought, you know, this would be a really good way to do a unique initiative that people can rally around and learn about and grabs people's attention. So we could address the issue of the lack of knowledge and lack of motivation in our cities to make change.
Awesome, Alex. And I appreciate that environmental perspective, because that's one that personally I tend to overlook. Like, of course, I love the idea of beautification. If we have some neglected asphalt, let's tear it up. Let's use that to, you know, put in some plants or maybe work towards having more local food. But it's great to know that there's also this tremendous environmental aspect as well. And it helps with, you know, maybe bringing a neighborhood out of a floodplain so we can have more development. Mm-hmm. Imagine there's all sorts of pros that follow.
Right. So yeah.
I'd love to talk about, how does DePave Paradise work? You know, you shared all these great benefits. How do we get started? You know, I imagine it's much more than just grabbing a crowbar and just going at some neglected asphalt. Take us through the process of how this organization works.
Right. So DePave Paradises are really huge community events. They're also educational events and inspirational events. And, you know, since 2012, we've had over 9,000 volunteers engaged in our events. So we're definitely rallying people together to make changes. And we have a very prescribed process, though, as well, and how to do that. So we start with a community group, and a community group that identifies overpaved areas. We often work with churches or schools or daycares, all sorts of places. And we've also some private properties as well. And so we approach them and we say, hey, we notice that there's a lot of asphalt, excess asphalt here. Would you be interested in some green space? And and we talk with them and we make a plan for their property. And then we rally people together. We have social media before, some general media before, just to get the word out in the community. Awesome. About what we're doing and why we're doing it. Media loves DePave events. It's a very photogenic event. It's people ripping up asphalt. So it looks exciting. And really brings people together, and people from diverse populations too. I mean, we've done a men's shelter in town here in Peterborough, and you know, we had people who were, you know, typically sitting on the street working together with people who are business owners in our community, and coming together and meeting each other and having conversations. So it really is a community building event as well as a greening event for our cities.
Awesome, Alex. And I'll tell you what, as Strong Towns, we talk a lot not only about removing asphalt, but just finding ways to have more productive uses with, like you said, all of this excess asphalt that we've laid down. What we talk a lot about Strong Towns is, you know, thinking about parking minimums and how with any developments, we force developers to provide a certain amount of parking spots. And like you mentioned, Alex, the result is we have these huge swaths of unused land. And listeners, I know we're going to be talking about more small-scale projects and how we can make better use of neglected asphalt. But golly, take a drive around your city and you'll discover just all of this big, empty, unused space that could have a much more productive use, like Alex mentioned. Alex, I want to talk about how we pitch this vision to our neighbors. You know, I imagine listeners are hearing all the great benefits that you're explaining. They're nodding along, and I imagine as they walk around their neighborhoods, they're envisioning flashes of neglected asphalt that, you know, can maybe have a tomato plant or different kind of beautification projects. For listeners who are inspired by this message, Alex, how do you encourage them to pitch it to their neighbors, start to build this community around the idea like you explained?
Well, it's a really good question, because sometimes people don't see it right away. So you really need to start talking to them about what could be there and what those benefits are. And sometimes a really great place to start is if you know something about those people that you're speaking to. I mean, are they birders? Maybe they're really interested in creating some habitat in the city for birds, or maybe they're interested in pollinators. And maybe they've had some lot level flooding on their property, or they can't go to swim at the local beach. I mean, start from those points. These are all benefits of removing asphalt and hard surfaces in our cities. So I would start from there, but, you know, and also just demonstrating what people and talking about what people have done in other communities is also really helpful, because people feel really nervous doing things for the first time themselves. So it's nice to hear success stories as well.
Absolutely. And you mentioned education earlier on in this podcast, and I said, you know, my first thought is beautification. I wasn't aware with
all the other great benefits, especially in relation to water flow, is the Deep Pave Paradise website. Is that a place where listeners can go and learn more about all the benefits and benefits that they may not be aware of?
Yeah, definitely. They can go on there. And we're online. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. And our website's dpaveparadise.org.
Awesome. Yeah. I'll make sure to check that out myself. Alex, I want to talk about the appropriate sites to do a project like this. You know, I joked about in the beginning about the guy who ripped out the median in his front yard. That's not the kind of stuff that we're trying to mess with. Alex, what do you think are the most appropriate sites? What's kind of that lens that listeners should have as they're looking for the best place to start and take on a deep paving project?
Well, I don't want to limit people's scope of where a deep pave can be done, because there's lots of people who want to do their driveways in different locations. I say deep pave anywhere that works. Yeah. But for us...
What's most common?
Right. So for us in particular, we do have prescribed guidelines, and that's because we are trying to spread education and it needs to be a public site. So we talk about, at this point, we need to have a minimum of 100 meters square. We found that's a nice balance between being too easy and too hard. It needs to be asphalt. Concrete is a very heavy material and sometimes has rebar in it, so we don't want to be doing that. So asphalt's good. We want to make sure that it's not a contaminated site, any soil contamination. So a gas station would be an example of somewhere you probably wouldn't want to do, because people are going to be down there and handling the soil and everything else. So we want to make sure it's a pretty clean location for people to handle. We definitely look for public locations. We want people to be able to see what you've done and learn from it and be inspired from that site, what you've done at that site. And we also want to make sure that it's a safe location for people to go to depave, but also to view as well.
Wonderful, Alex. And I imagine this is a great way for groups to, you know, demonstrate their vision. You know, I think we all imagine, whether it's our downtown and we'd like to have more gathering space, more parklets, more places where we can gather with our peers, share our vision, share our ideas. And, you know, we can always talk about it and we can point to other cities that maybe have pursued similar initiatives.
Right.
But to actually go out there and, you know, just try it out in your own neighborhood, try it out in your own downtown. Have you noticed that that's a great way to help your peers kind of visualize, like, hey, like, there is a better use for this neglected space? Have you noticed that's a way to get people behind the idea?
Definitely, yeah. And we actually call them demonstration sites because they are...
Demonstration.
Yeah, to see them. And commonly we do a lot of, you know, daycares and schools are great locations because people always want to be greening yards for kids. It's a better playground for them. But also we end up doing some faith community locations. So churches also sometimes have some extra space, but also some private businesses as well that just want to make their properties look a little bit nicer.
Awesome. Alex, let's talk about how listeners can partner with the city. You know, they've bought into this idea that Deep Pave Paradise and the folk in Portland are pursuing. They've reached out to their neighbors. They have a great coalition of people who want to try it out. And they're interested in their elected officials involved. Alex, do you have any tips on reaching out to this folk, getting them behind the vision as well?
Right. So we have a lot of success with municipalities, and that has a lot to do with the fact that it's a good news story and it's a positive action in our community, and they can come out and they can have their picture taken with everybody and lifting up asphalt. So mayors and councillors love to come out. Sometimes our the staff at the city are a little bit nervous. The guys that are the stormwater folks get a little bit nervous about it. But once we sit down with them and explain to them what we're doing and what the plan is and being open to what their feedback is, they're some experts in development, so they'll let us know if there's any concerns that they have. But it's just having that open conversation and saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. We also have some legal requirements when we're going to dig into the soil on properties. If there's any permitting that you need, you should find out about that. But also there's a call before you dig numbers that you need to call for gas lines and electricity and such as well too. But really, I think Deep Pave Paradise is a really positive and happy event, and we want to carry that over in our communications with people. And and sharing that information with them.
Yeah, that's awesome, Alex. And you make a great point. And Alex, it's one that many of our guests on this podcast make whenever we bring up, you know, I'm a citizen, I had this idea, I want to try it out, but I want to get the municipality involved. Like you said, Alex, just invite them. Like, just get them involved early. And it seems like most of the time, they're going to be down for it. I love that.
Yeah, and a lot of them have sustainability departments too. So if they do, I would, you know, figure out who in there might want to do things a little bit differently around the environment and development in your city. Sometimes you can find a champion.
Awesome, Alex. Alex, I'd love to hear from you. You're helping spearhead this depaving movement throughout Canada. What are some of your favorite stories that have come about from the work that Depave Paradise is doing? What are some cool, inspirational projects that listeners can look more into?
Well, we've done over 34 depaves. Wow. So there's many. And I think that, you know, locally in any schoolyard, there's probably kids that are really happy that we've depaved the schoolyard and put in some trees and beautiful green spaces for them to play in. But I guess I can talk about most recently in Peterborough, our member organization GreenUp partnered with the Downtown Business Improvement Association to take up a huge section, 787 square meters of unused road along a shoreline.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of work and put in a massive rain garden. So this is the biggest depave to date, but it's also significant because it's been a partnership with the business community. And as well, it was provincially recognized with a Streetscaping and Public Realm Improvements Award by the Ontario DBIA. So it's a new development for us because we've classically partnered with schools and the faith community. This is a bigger move into the business community, which we're excited about.
Cool, Alex. Have you noticed any communities depaving to have more local food? Is that an initiative people have taken on?
Yeah. So in Calgary, there was a tennis courts taken up, and they put in a food there as well as a housing cooperative. So yeah, definitely. We just have to always be careful about the soil.
Yes. We'll all keep that in mind.
Yeah.
And Alex, what I love about all of this and the continuing theme that I want, of course, all listeners to understand is that depaving is not, you know, an end unto itself. There's a reason that we're pursuing these projects. You know, as Alex mentioned, maybe it's for better water flow. Maybe it's for the beautification of the site. Maybe from a, you know, municipal finance perspective, it means we have less to maintain. We can better use our dollars. And, you know, thinking more large scale, I mentioned before, of all these empty parking lots we have, we can use these empty spaces for more economically productive uses. We can provide housing. We can have more local food. It can be food truck parking. I think it's important for folk to understand, yes, it's beautiful and it's a great opportunity to have something more beautiful to look in your neighborhood, but there's also great economical advantages, great environmental advantages, all great stuff, Alex, that I appreciate you sharing with us.
Yeah, no problem. I'm happy to share it. And I'm always available to talk to anyone that wants awesome. To learn more about depaving. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Cool. Alex, final question for you. You've shared such great information about how depaving works, all of its benefits. How can Depave Paradise help listeners through this process if they want to pursue a similar project where they live?
Right. So if you are located in Canada, we have coordinators across Ontario that are trained in depaving. So we're happy to hook you up with them, as well as in Manitoba, Nova Scotia, and a few other provinces. So we are happy to help with that. Otherwise, give me a shout or send me an email and we can talk about how to get you trained and supporting you. If you're just a homeowner and you want to do a driveway or something like that, depave.org has some really great resources online for people to use and access on how to, you know, depave your own driveway. So there's lots of resources out there. You just have to look for them and ask for them, and we're happy to support you.
Perfect. Well, Alex, thanks so much for sharing your wisdom and experience with us. I know I'm excited to maybe pursue some depaving projects where I live here in Denton. So just thank you so much again, and we will chat very soon.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alex.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes, and we will chat next week. See ya.